welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And Trevor, we've actually got a game to talk about this week, so yahoo for that, from that standpoint. So after a bye week, which I think we talked about plentiful last week, was came at a very good time. It was well needed. We have to get ready for tonight's game at 6:45 start, you know, at home. SEC Network, it's Mizzou hosting Oklahoma, which feels like a decade ago or something. I feel like we've done this before, but it has been a little while since we've had, you know, a meeting between the Tigers and the Sooners.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a rivalry that in my youth was like one of the biggest for Missouri. Like, sure. And it was not even in the sense of back and forth. It was the hurdle that Missouri was never able to clear. Right. Obviously, Oklahoma and Texas ran the Big 12 for many, many, many years. And OU was always that Big 12 championship game or middle of the conference schedule game that they were never able to clear when they were in that top echelon of the Big 12. Fast forward to now, Oklahoma's in its first year in the SEC. They've taken some lumps.
Right.
And Missouri has kind of evened that playing field a little bit, especially on the talent portion.
Right.
Missouri in the recruiting battles have stolen some kids from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Oklahoma tried to go get Will Winery last year and wasn't able to kind of steal him from Mizzou. Mm-hmm. And then Caden Green, one of his friends from Lee Summit North, transfers over from from Oklahoma to Missouri. So it's kind of a rivalry that has obviously gone away for a while, but it's one that really should heat up in the next few years and probably pick up right where it left off.
And I don't know if they stole him or if he left, but, you know, Theo Weiss also used to be an Oklahoma Sooner. So it's another one where you go, okay, there's a lot of reasons for these two teams to be pretty familiar with each other, I think, heading into this one.
Yeah, and it's two schools that are recruiting the same areas.
Yeah.
Obviously, Missouri is going to recruit Missouri, and OU has had a lot of success getting kids out of Missouri.
Right.
They go to Texas, all over the Midwest. They recruit a lot of the same kids in that kind of category of the top 100 rankings, whatever you want to say. And this is one that is going to be very impactful, not only for the players and coaches and the schools, but these fan bases definitely don't like each other. And they're very vocal about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me just, you know, as part of setting the scene, let me throw these numbers at you from the standpoint of, okay, which one of these is more surprising to you? Missouri at 6-2 overall and 2-2 in the SEC, or OU at 5-4 overall and 1-4 in the SEC?
I would have to say OU, because
I didn't expect them to be, you know, dominating the conference this year, but I sure didn't think I'd see a 1-4 record on them at this point in the season.
Yeah, definitely. And we kind of predicted Missouri to be in this situation of 6-2. We thought it would look a little bit better.
Right, right.
But for OU standards, ever since Lincoln Riley left, so this is year two under Brent Venables, who spent 10 years as the defensive coordinator at Clemson, very successful in that job.
Right.
Success hasn't really translated over for him.
True.
Especially on the offensive side of the ball with him being a defensive-minded head coach.
Yeah.
But the defense has looked much better for him this year than it did last year. And it's a big step up in class for OU from the Big 12 to the SEC.
Sure.
They have been a very successful, one of the most successful programs over the past century, you could say.
Yeah.
But they kind of stepped into the SEC, and they're facing a different level of physicality.
Yeah.
They're not able to just kind of walk in and dominate defensively and win games that way.
And, or they haven't been able to, like, scuffle in games and not play their best and still get a win like they did in the Big 12. You come in here and you don't play well, you're probably not going to win. You're going to have to play well, because even the lower teams in the league this year are jumping up and biting people this year.
Yeah, and it never showed more than their first SEC game ever. They have to go to Tennessee.
Right.
That's one of the toughest venues to play in all of college football. And the final score is not going to look too bad. They lost 25-15.
Right.
But if you actually watch that game, OU never had a chance.
Yeah.
They got brutalized at the line of scrimmage. Tennessee basically did whatever they wanted to and then took the foot off the gas big time.
Right.
Why they did that, I'm not really sure. That is not the Josh Heupel special, and Missouri
right.
fans can attest to that. But that was kind of a welcome to the SEC. And then they have to go to Auburn the next week. They start a true freshman quarterback, and they're able to win that one.
Right.
That is their lone conference win. And then they've kind of taken their lumps again in recent weeks. In the last SEC game they played, they had to go to Ole Miss. So they have played some of the best teams in the SEC, and that's kind of a big welcome to the conference moment, because the SEC's mantra is it's a deep league, and you got a lot of good teams you got to deal with.
So we'll mention that, yes, they did win last week out of conference handily against Maine. Yeah, no big deal.
Great job, Sooners.
But I do want to kind of dive into those three previous conference games, which were all losses from a standpoint of, you go, okay, yeah, they started with, you know, playing Texas, and Texas drubbed them. I think it was then, you know, an unranked South Carolina team that they lost to 35-9, and I think, you know, South Carolina's flirting with maybe being ranked. They've kind of been on the fringes, but it's just kind of one of those where you go, okay, maybe that's one of those 50-50 games. Well, they got their doors blown off in that 50-50 game, and then they do come back, and Ole Miss is ranked, and so they lose to a ranked opponent 26-14, but again, it never felt like it was they had a chance to win that one. It kind of felt like watching it, just like, well, it's Ole Miss's game to do with whatever they want to. So I think all three of those games have played out in kind of vaguely different ways, but they've all been just not great OU performances.
Yeah, and it really boils down to the Sooners' offensive production. It hasn't been pretty all year.
Right.
And we'll get into the offensive coordinator change that has kind of come from that. But obviously, Texas is one of the best teams in the country.
Sure.
They know them very well, obviously, with the Red River rivalry and stuff like that. But the game that stood out to me is that South Carolina game. Mm-hmm. Obviously, at this point in the season, with the wins and even kind of the moral victories that they've had and losses, we know South Carolina is a pretty good team.
Right.
But that is a middle-of-the-pack SEC team.
Right.
And in years past, if you're looking at the Big 12, that's kind of the Baylors and like the Oklahoma States and that kind of bunch.
Sure.
That's one where you look at the schedule before the season, and it's, if OU is going to be a really good team, that's a game they have to take.
Yeah.
They have to win. And like you mentioned, they didn't just lose. They were non-competitive in that game.
Right.
And they've been non-competitive in a lot of these SEC losses. So they're taking their lumps, and they're really, really starting to figure out what they stepped into.
So speak to that point that you brought up a little bit, because I do think that when you're, you know, when you're switching kind of an offensive coordinator kind of mid-flow, that's never a good sign.
Yeah, and it's not even just that. They've kind of gone back and forth on quarterbacks, but the offensive coordinator switch, they went to Joe John Finley after that South Carolina kind of debacle, whatever you want to call it, when they scored 9 points and the offense had struggled all year. And so they really just kind of wanted to switch up the face and the play calling. And it's worked a little bit. You can't really tell too much from the last 2 weeks. You put up 14 against a really good defensive team in Ole Miss, and then you put up 59 against Maine, which, congrats.
Yeah,
that's kind of like that UMass game for Mizzou, where you walk into it, and it's like, as long as this doesn't go terribly, you're not really going to take anything away. So we'll see how they look today. And on the quarterback front, Jackson Arnold came into the season as the starter. He's a sophomore that was the number 10 overall recruit in 2023. They were extremely excited about him. He played some pretty bad football for a while.
And
in that first SEC game at Tennessee, he gets benched. They go to a freshman in Hawkins, and he plays the next two games, and then they realize that's not helping anything. And so you might as well go back to your prize recruit, Jackson Arnold. And he's played a little bit better in recent weeks, but it's still not perfect.
Right.
And they're going to need a lot more production out of him if they want to kind of get where they're going in years to come.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break for an ad read. At Carpet Values, we offer the guaranteed lowest prices on all your flooring needs. And now, during our fall savings event, you can save even more. We are stocked full of carpet, vinyl plank, tile, laminates, rugs, and more. Don't miss out on these hot fall savings. Come see us at Carpet Values and take advantage of our guaranteed lowest prices. We're your low-price superstore at I-70 and Highway 54 in Kingdom City. So the funny part about all this preamble that we've done to this point is Mizzou's maybe in a better place than OU is, and OU's favored in this game. And I think it just is a direct result of, I think we're probably not going to see Brady Cook today, despite another week of rest that he got this past week. It sounds like he's unlikely to play, and if that's the case, then yes, that's a huge thing. And I think it's become an even bigger thing the last couple weeks when we've seen extended looks at Drew Pine. So let's hope Drew had a great week of practice leading up to this one and can be better than he has shown previously, because yes, if Brady doesn't go today, I think it's going to be OU coming out with a victory tonight.
So we are recording this later in the week, so we have a little bit more information available to us than we normally do. On Wednesday, Brady Cook's listed as doubtful. It looks like there's almost no chance he's going to play. Thursday comes and they move him to questionable.
Right.
And then Friday comes and he's kind of back in that doubtful category.
Right.
And I think the Vegas line told you all you needed to know on who was going to be playing quarterback.
Right.
Mizzou has gone 6 points in the wrong way to now being a 3.5 point underdog. So that pretty much tells you that Drew Pine is going to be the starter. And just kind of rolling through the other injuries real quick, doesn't look like Mookie Cooper's going to play. I think Nate Noel is going to give it a go. He's listed as questionable. He's been banged up for about a month now. Logan Reichert's listed as questionable. And the aforementioned Caden Green, Oklahoma transfer, offensive lineman, he is listed as probable, so he might get his revenge game opportunity. But listening to the press conference this week, the question was phrased as, who will go if Brady Cook is unavailable? And because we did get to see a little bit of J.R. Blood in that Alabama loss, but the answer was two words, and it was very quick, and it was Drew Pine. And then there had to be kind of a follow-up question of why, essentially, or what have you seen from him? What are you saying to him? And Drinkwitz was quick to say that they did not put him in a good position to succeed, which might be true, but Drew Pine also didn't put the team in a good position to succeed.
Right. So, I mean, you brought up the point where it was like, okay, it is who is backing up Brady? Okay, it's going to be Drew Pine. My question would be, who's backing up Drew Pine in case it doesn't go well again? Because I think we need to know who might be the next QB2 at this point, because if QB1's Drew, QB2 can't be far behind.
I mean, you have to expect it to be J.R. Blood. He didn't get to play enough to really have his kind of experiment job interview, whatever you want to say for it. Like, he didn't throw a pass, so you have no idea what he really brings to the table at this point.
Right.
So you would have to guess he gets the first opportunity if Drew Pine does go out and throw three more interceptions or struggle the way we have seen him struggle in his time on the field this season. And Drinkwitz was quick to say that the team's still behind Drew Pine. Obviously, every coach is going to say that.
Right.
You don't know how much truth is behind it, but they're going into this game with confidence in Drew Pine, and we'll see if that translates to any sort of success, because we haven't seen it with him.
I think there's plenty on the line in this game. I mean, I don't think that there's plenty of subplots that make this important for both teams. I think the one interesting subplot that probably won't matter at the end of the season, but is interesting to talk about now, is this: the fact that we did get the first college football playoff rankings this week. And I am frankly going to admit that I was a little stunned to see Missouri still at 24. I mean, I think it makes sense, sort of. But it's also one of those things where you look like, well, how are they ahead of Army? I mean, I don't know that, Army doesn't maybe have a great strength of schedule, but it's also, they're undefeated too. So I think they were very generous at putting the Tigers at 24. And it still kind of gives them a lot to play for, even though a lot of things are going to have to go very, 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 very right for Missouri for things to work out at all.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of said the college football playoff was not a realistic possibility after that Alabama loss. And if you were still to ask me today whether there's a chance Missouri's going to make it, I'd say it's less than 2%.
Right,
the odds of them being able to put themselves in that picture are very, very slim. And it's because of all the reasons we've said this season. They don't have an impressive win.
Right.
And even in those games where they're not playing very good teams, they haven't gotten any style points and looked particularly great in those games, unless it's a mid-major team. So you mentioned Army. Obviously, Army doesn't have many marquee wins. They have that chance against Notre Dame
coming
up. But
they've got all wins.
they do have all wins, and they don't have brutal losses on their schedule like Mizzou has in the two games against good teams they've played. So, I mean, I would say the most realistic path to the college football playoff is just absolute mayhem in the SEC.
Right.
And basically half the league ending up with three losses and Missouri finding its way to the SEC title game. But that seems very slim at
this
point.
Seems very unlikely, yeah.
And if Brady Cook's going to be on the injury report every week, winning out seems very, very slim. And if he's not there today, winning in this game seems very slim.
And so, even if you were here, I think winning out, I mean, if he were healthy, it'd still be one of those games where I still don't know, based on what we saw earlier in the season, where you go, I don't know how likely that would be anyway. And it's just funny, you know, as you kind of scroll up the rankings and kind of go, okay, you know, well, at least this team's flawed, but at least they've got this. And this team's got, oh, that's a bad loss, but they've got two really good wins. And this team's like, they don't maybe have any marquee wins, but they don't have any bad losses. And then you kind of look at Missouri and just go, they're just happy to be part of the conversation still at this point with the way this season has gone to this point.
Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, kind of a pleasant surprise if you're Missouri fans to see them with a number next to their name in that first CFP rankings, because the big criteria they've set all along is big wins are going to be their biggest criteria.
Right.
And Missouri has zero.
Right.
To put it frankly, they have zero. So it was kind of surprising to see them there, but if the committee treats it like they treated the four-team playoff, the teams that they're ahead of, as long as they don't have very marquee wins coming in the recent weeks, they would still be ahead of them if everything kind of holds pat.
Yeah.
So if you're a Tigers fan, you kind of have to hope that Missouri wins out and every team in front of them just has a couple bad losses, maybe,
right.
And just chaos, as you like to root for when
Absolutely.
It comes to this. Yeah, if you're Missouri, you're going to need a lot of chaos to get back in that picture.
More than the usual amount, probably, even in this year, which has had its fair share. All right, so I guess I'll just ask you then, the first step is tonight. Are they able to get a win tonight to at least keep whatever hopes of anything for this season to kind of end on a positive note alive?
It's just simply hard to believe in Drew Pine at this point.
Right.
He hasn't shown you any really positive signs to kind of build off of. So until he does that, I'm not going to pick them, because
right.
that just does not seem like the smart thing to do. I think Missouri's defense will be able to play pretty well in this one against a struggling OU offense.
Yeah.
So I'll predict it to be kind of like the Auburn game, what we saw, just with an opposite result. So we'll say 21-17 Oklahoma.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter @TREVHAHN3. That's Trev Hahn 3. Thanks for listening.